Please remain standing for the sermon and gospel lesson for this morning. It's found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. You can follow along on the insert or in your own Bibles. Again, Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. I read in Jesus' name. And when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all held that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believe him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, Jesus, what gives? Who tells you you can go around and do all of this stuff? What gives you the authority to do all of these things? The chief priests and the elders, the leaders of the temple, want to know why Jesus thinks he can get away with doing all the stuff that he's been doing. Well, what has Jesus been doing? We've skipped a pretty significant chunk of the Gospel of Matthew from last week, where Jesus was preaching and teaching in parables, now to this week. A lot's gone on, so let me sum up. We are in our text at Tuesday of Holy Week. Jesus is 3 days from hanging on a cross. On Sunday of Holy Week, as we all know, Jesus sat on a donkey riding into Jerusalem, being welcomed by shouts of the crowds hollering out, "Hosanna, save us now, Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest." And they waved those palm branches and they laid their cloaks out before him as he went into the city of Jerusalem. And the chief priests and the elders, these leaders, they didn't like it. On Monday of Holy Week, Jesus goes back into the temple. And he sees what's going on. He sees people buying and selling animals for sacrifice, and he sees money changers, and he is outraged. He is indignant. And so he makes a whip, and he drives those buyers and sellers out of the marketplace. He overturns the tables of the money changers. Coins are rolling all over the place. You can hear the animals running away. Chaos ensued. Not very reverent in the temple is this Mr. Jesus. Or maybe he is being reverent. But anyway, after causing such a great scene in the temple, you'd think that Jesus would maybe want to abscond, to slip out quietly and hide out in a dark alley until things brushed over a little bit. But he doesn't. He stays in the temple, and people bring both blind and lame people to him, and he heals them, and the children, the little kids, are shouting out to him, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And Jesus doesn't tell them, "You know, you're in church, you need to be more reverent, you need to quiet down." No, he accepts their shouts of praise, and this further enrages those chief priests and those elders. And so now we get to our text. We're on Tuesday of Holy Week. Jesus is back in the temple, and these leaders of the temple, the ones who were put in charge of overseeing what was going on in the temple, they're none too happy. They ask Jesus, "Why do you think you have the authority to do this? We're the ones who are in charge of what goes on here. We told those buyers and those sellers that they could be here. We told the money changers that they could be here. We set things up so that it will work for us. Who are you to tell us how we are to worship? Who gave you the authority to do this?" Jesus, being Jesus, doesn't really answer their question. Actually, he does, but it's in a very roundabout way. Jesus says, "I will also ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I'll tell you by what authority I do all of these things." The baptism of John, did it come from heaven? Did it come from God? Or did it come from men? And now if these leaders answer this question correctly, they'll have the answer to their own question, because Jesus' authority comes from the same place that John's authority came from. It's the same answer. They both spoke from God. And so if they get this question right, they'll get their own question right. But these leaders realize, they huddle up and they realize they're in a tricky spot. If they answer either way, they're going to be in trouble. Because if they answer that John's baptism was from heaven, then Jesus is going to say, "Well, why didn't you believe John? And what was John saying to do? John said that there was one coming after him. John said, I'm pointing to someone who's coming after me, who's mightier than I am, whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I came to preach to you, to point to you to Jesus. To Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." If John's message came from heaven, then why in the world aren't these leaders listening to Jesus? But they also realize that if they say that John's baptism came from men, they're still in trouble, because gobs of people throughout the country went out to John to be baptized by him. In Mark chapter 1, Mark says that all of Jerusalem and all of Judea was going out to be baptized by John. They went out into that wilderness to receive baptism. And we kind of have to know why there was baptism going on at this point. For about 300 years before Christ, if you were not Jewish, if you were not part of the genealogy of Abraham, but wanted to become part of the people of God, you would be baptized. Just as the people, when they entered the Promised Land, were baptized through the Jordan River, or as they left Egypt, they were baptized in the Red Sea. But notice all of these people who were going out to John to be baptized were already descendants of Abraham, but they recognized that they were outside of God's covenant. And they believed John as he called out to them, "Repent, for the reign of heaven is coming near." And again, it was all sorts of people who were doing this. So these leaders are scared that if they say that John's baptism was only from men, that they're going to tick off the people. And they can't afford to do that. So how are they going to answer Jesus' question? They come up with a very humble-sounding, very pious-sounding lie. We don't know. It's a lie. They knew. And Jesus says, "If you don't know, then I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do these things." But Jesus doesn't let them off the hook either. He keeps pressing them. He asks them a question through this mini parable in order to trap them. But it's very important that you recognize that Jesus isn't trapping them in order to condemn them. Jesus is trapping them so that they will ultimately come to faith and believe in him. So he tells this mini parable about a father who has two sons. He says to the first, "Go and work in my vineyard today." The son says, "Not going to do it." But then afterwards, he changes his mind. Pause there. That is one word in the Greek. That one word is repented. he repented and went anyway. The father goes to the second son, says, go and work in my vineyard today. And he says, you bet, Dad, I'll go. But he never goes. Jesus asks these leaders, which of the two did the will of his father? And the answer is elementary, it's obvious, it's a no-brainer. Obviously, the first, the one who repented. And that's how the leaders answer. But then Jesus, after these people give the right answer, says something that maybe is kind of weird for us to hear. He says, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the reign of God before you. Because John came preaching the way of righteousness. In other words, John came preaching repentance and faith in me, and yet you didn't believe him. You recognize that repentance is doing the will of the Father, but you didn't repent. And so you watch as those tax collectors and those prostitutes go into the reign of God, and you don't. Now, Jesus is going to expand on this imagery of these tax collectors and prostitutes going into the reign of God in our next 2 weeks' texts through different parables. So we're going to leave Jesus and the elders for now, and we're going to ask, what in the world does all of this mean for you? So we need to define who the characters are in this little mini parable. The father in the parable, obviously, is God. The first son and the second son, the first son is believers, and the second son is unbelievers. And when the father says, go work in my vineyard today, that is representing to do the will of God. But what is the will of God? The will of God is not that you straighten up your life and fly straight and do your best and do better than most so that you enter the reign of God. That's not God's will. God gave his commandments, God gave his law in order to increase your sin. The will of God is what John came preaching, what Ezekiel was preaching in our Old Testament text, what Jesus was preaching. The will of God is repent and believe the gospel. Jesus says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son will believe in him and have eternal life. God's will is for you to turn from all of your works, to turn from all of your ways, because none of them are ever good enough. Everything that you do is soiled and tainted with sin. There are no saints among us. Not by ourselves, anyway. You see, our sin, all of our sin, even the sin of the worst sinners, it separates us from God. And we can't do anything about it. That's why God sent Jesus with authority. And Jesus has authority. And the good news is that Jesus used his authority on your behalf. He lived the perfect life that God's law demanded. And he forgave your sins. He had the authority from God to take your sins from you and put them onto himself. 1 Peter says that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might become the children of God. And 2 Corinthians 5 says that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. Only Jesus had the authority to take your sins from you and put them on himself. And he suffered and bled and died for all of your sins. And he went to the tomb, and that's where your sins remained. In the emptiness of the tomb of Christ, your sins are gone. Because of what Jesus has done for you, when God looks at you, he doesn't see any sin whatsoever. That's the gospel. that Jesus has the authority. And he says it again at the end of Matthew. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he says, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. And he promises that he's with us even until the end of the age. And so, know today that your sins have been forgiven because of Christ. And under his authority, go from here and announce to others the good news of the gospel. That their sins have been removed by Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.